Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. In the virtual Kia Studios. On this holiday Monday, Sam Crenshaw along with Jarvis Davis. What's up, man?
What's going on, Sam? How you doing, man? How are you?
Doing great. Sharing some of this holiday with you. Welcome everyone in. We're sitting things, keeping things warm and holding it down for John Chuckery on this holiday Monday. Hope everything has been well with each and every one of you listening to us. And by the way, here on Sports... with you wherever you've been throughout this holiday weekend as we've taken some time, as we always do at this time each year, to honor those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom and our liberties. Men and women of our military served us, and I've seen us a helicopter fly over much of our listening area today. I don't know if you had a chance to look up to the skies and see it, and paying tribute to those who sacrificed their lives for liberty and for the United States. But that's what we do today, and it's a day that we always say starts the summer season, end of spring, start of summer, as we do it. But it's different this time, Jarvis. It's not the usual Memorial Day, and we know of a number of reasons because of what we're dealing with right now with the virus. It changes a lot of things that we normally like to do. Some people may have gotten out to the lake or gone to the park, but not in the numbers that we normally see. There are normally events and occasions that take place on a Memorial Day with some of our veterans who are of a certain age, who have been told they need to shelter in place during the time of this pandemic. So we know that that was different as well. But I did manage to get some food on the grill today, man. I don't know how it was with your place. How was it with you?
Oh, you know what? To be honest with you, first of all, I just want to take the opportunity out to say, say hey, observe and acknowledge those who have lost their lives, helping to protect this country. And also, I know a lot of times, sometimes it can get kind of lost in, the barbecues and the fellowship and the pools and all that stuff. So definitely want to take some time out to kind of observe and acknowledge those who have, gave the ultimate sacrifice for this country. But man, for me, man, I've been kind of depressed, Sam, because like my grill is like shot, like my grill is done. It bottomed out. So for me, man, Memorial Day was a little different because I had to kind of figure it out. I know I had to get some pork in my system, for those, and done with it, that's pork. I gotta get some poke in my system, man. So I went to my local warehouse, BJ's, and picked up some pork loin, and I cut it up and put it in the crock pot, man, and added some rice to it, man, and let that rice soak up all that good grease and oils and seasonings, and we made it work, man.
Mm-hmm. Made it do what it do.
Yeah, we had to make it do what it do, man.
You know what? We have to do that. But you got to get that grill straight, man, because this is the start of the summer season. And we still got some other things coming along during this summer. You got to get that grill right now.
If my wife listening, she need to come on in, man. You need to come on in with that grill. I ain't trying to give no hint what to give me for Father's Day. But, hey, man, you know, that might be something that might be useful around these parts. You know, she gets to eat, too, so it benefits her as well. Somebody going to be knocking on the door in a minute.
Oh yeah, we might hear that. We might hear that because we are in the virtual Kia Studios, and we are prone to have visitors at different times with us working the way we've been working.
Oh,
here.
No doubt about it,
man. But that's just as the as we work on this holiday Monday. But you know, we'll hear from you too as well. If you want to give us a call at 404-741-0929 or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. I'd love to just get your thoughts on how you spent this holiday weekend and how you spent this Memorial Day. Was it a little different for you, or were you able to still observe some things in your traditional way? I know Jarvis, out in the area where I live, each year at this time, the streets are lined with American flags and the names of those who have come from this area who have been lost in a war. So you may ride down the street and see a name with World War II, or you see a name with Vietnam, you know, a name with Korea. And, you know, sadly, in more recent years, you've seen more names added with Iraq and Afghanistan. From the area. So, I mean, it's something that it's just a reminder. It's a reminder to all of us as we travel around our area. You see those. Those flags are always done in our area on Memorial Day and also for Veterans Day. It's something, a great gesture. It's just something to make you stop and pause for a minute. And when you see those names and see the time that they served and the situation of the war that they were fighting when their lives were lost, and the fact that their hometown still honors them this way. So like I said, some different type ceremonies today because of a lot of those servicemen, those veterans who are of a certain age who normally participate in this, probably been advised not to be out in a crowd or they've been sheltering in place, especially if they're dealing with any type of health issues that would make them vulnerable to this virus, as we tend to. But still, we want to honor the memory of those who served and lost their lives during this time. But, you know, there are other things that normally happen. And, you know, this thing all came down on us around March 11th and March 12th, Jarvis. I know for me, I was working a broadcast of Georgia State, Georgia Southern basketball game. It was the Sun Belt Conference quarterfinal game at Georgia State. And it was a crowded gym, too, whenever Georgia State and Georgia Southern plays anything. But little did we know that game was over, that was going to be the last. Yeah, always, you know. But we didn't know that was going to be the last sporting event broadcast in town. That's the last sporting event that's been broadcast in town since that time. Nothing else. Remember, so much was on the board. So we're going to ask people tonight, and you and I are going to do something, and we're going to do one now at the top of each hour. What is it that we've missed most for this spring? Things that we normally would do, things we were looking forward to. It could be something big, like a big event. But it could be something that just meant something to me. A job is something that just meant something to you that you're looking forward to seeing after that time came in March 11th and March 12th when everybody was told to shelter in place and all the teams were told to stop playing and we didn't know when we're going to get back. And we're still not sure when we're going to get back. But can you think of one thing that you missed that you were really looking forward to?
The first thing that comes to my mind is I think about UGA. And, you know, Jake Fromm actually going on to the NFL and seeing what Jamie Newman has to offer, seeing what he's going to bring to the table, seeing if we're going to be wild in the spring game. Because as much trash a lot of people talk, and I know I was part of it too, about, you know, overhyping the spring game, which is a basically a super practice. It's a super practice.
Right.
And when you think about it, that's exactly what it is. But I think it was going to be a little bit different this year because, you know, Todd Monken coming in as offensive coordinator and Jamie Newman coming in as a quarterback. So it's a lot of newness on the offense. And we haven't seen any newness in quite some time, being that Jake Fromm has been at quarterback and, you know, what you've been able to have, you know, in that backfield, and DeAndre Swift and, you know, Sonny Michelle and all those guys, like all those running backs coming through. Now you have, you know, a guy in Jamie Newman coming in under a new system. Is Georgia going to really open up this offense? Or is – and the question that I had going into spring practice is Kirby Smart going to allow Monken to call plays like he called plays? You know, because I know. I played for a defensive-minded coach because, you know, in certain times of the game, and if we're up and we have one of the better defenses in the country, and we know Kirby Smart, what type of defense they were dealing with last year, is he going to allow him to call plays like he wants? Is he going to allow him to be aggressive? Is he going to pull a Nick Saban and say, you know what, I've been doing things this way for a very long time, but a guy like Lane Kiffin and coming in and allow him to do what he does. And you see what that, you know, the reward was for Nick Saban and finally realizing that, hey, okay, this ground and pound is probably not going to work anymore. So I was really interested to see what Kirby Smart was going to allow Monken to do just in spring practice.
That was something I'm sure you and a lot of other people were looking forward to, and obviously looking forward to G-Day. But like you said, there was great anticipation because of that and because of the schedule that Georgia has coming up in the fall. Potentially, Georgia could end up playing against Alabama three times. Potentially. Think about that.
Yeah.
You got a regular season game. If they meet them here in Atlanta for the SEC championship game, and if for some reason both make it into the four for the playoff, they could conceivably meet three times this coming season. So obviously a lot of people watching what was going to happen for Georgia this spring. I'll tell you what I was looking forward to seeing, and because we were just weeks away from it, was the Final Four. Final Four was due to be here in Atlanta, and I think it said it'd be about another 7 years, I think, before Atlanta will get a chance to have that event again. But we were all set to have it. Had some great events surrounding it that I had a chance to see some of the things that the NCAA and the Final Four were doing to have an impact in schools around the area, at boys and girls clubs, things that we're doing and refurbishing and doing some things like that. But just the idea that this was going to be the third of the three consecutive major sporting events that we were going to have and host in our city, from the national championship game to the Super Bowl and then the Final Four. And that was And the things went so well with the Super Bowl logistically, and we were looking for that to happen, and that was taken away from us.
And you know that this was a year that I believe that we were going to get a team that traditionally hasn't been won a national championship. You know, the Fighting Sean Thompsons of the world, of the day, talking about Obi Toppin, you know, and how he was, you know, basically took over to NCAA this year, and I wanted to see if they were going to be able to pull it off. Were they going to be able to, you know, win that national championship and get to the Final Four and be that team and put that school on the map like he already started to in this season. So, and, you know, of course, you know, if the underboss can be happy, man, that means, you know, more money, you know. If they would have won the championship, you know, I mean, he would have been passing out raises all over the place, starting with me. You know, and I think that would have been a good thing, man. That would have been a great thing to see. So it was definitely interesting because I'm the type of guy, I've always rooted for the underdog. I've always rooted for teams that, you know, don't normally win. That's why I have a strong hate for Michael Jordan and the Bulls back in the 90s. And that Last Dance documentary kind of conjured up all of that angst and anger towards those teams back then. So,
yeah.
I always root for the little guy. Even though I'm a big guy, I like to root for the little guy.
Yeah. But, you know, those are the teams that have been successful in March Madness in recent years. Not the teams with the one and dones, your Villanovas, the teams that have the guys that come and play 4 years of basketball. Well, folks, that's the first segment. We're just getting started on this Monday night. We're so glad you're with us. Sam and Jarvis keeping things warm for John Chuckery on this holiday Monday night. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the different look in sports. We've seen a couple of things so far as sports starts to come back. What you may look to see more of and see less of in the coming months when we continue on this Monday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We are available through the radio.com app on all of your smartphones, your smart devices, and smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Jarvis. Yep. Sitting in for John Chuckery on this Monday night. Hope the Memorial Day holiday weekend has been a safe one for you and yours, that you've been safe and well, whatever you chose to do. If you chose to shelter in place and stay home and just stay close to home with family, if you've managed to venture out a little bit, maybe gone to the lake or just out to the park to get some fresh air, maybe got in your car and go for a drive. Hadn't been around the city for a while. See what some things that have changed maybe during the time that we've been I won't say lockdown, it sounds bad, lockdown, but just some sheltering in place while we've been dealing with the coronavirus. And also a salute to those seniors, the class of 2020. yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But Jarvis, also salute to the seniors, man. Class of 2020, just not able to celebrate the way they traditionally, graduation class would traditionally celebrate. And you just can't imagine that not happening, but they've been able to deal with it and find own creative
Sam,
way to celebrate.
Don't feel too sorry for them because, at the end of the day, as a 17 or 18-year-old, and I have a nephew who just graduated from Arabian Mount. Shout out to Aaron. Congratulations. Man. They just want money, man. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it real. They just want money.
You think that's it?
They just want money, man. That's all that is.
You think so?
Come on, man.
I know you want a memory, though.
All that stuff, that's semantics. As long as they get the money, they'll feel like they graduated. That's how I feel.
I don't know. Some of them are doing it. But they're finding ways to do it, even if they're using Zoom or if they're getting in cars and riding through neighborhood honking horns. I've had several do that. I'm riding through them with a group of them honking horns and people waving. Whatever allows them to enjoy it, because there's nothing else like, to me, putting that cap and gown on and getting that diploma. That's if you're a senior in high school, that reflects 12 years of work and sticking with it. And it's not an easy thing for some. Some people it's a simple thing, but some folks it's a struggle. And to me, to get that cap and gown represents something, an achievement. So we wait to see that. So we salute all of the seniors, though, the class of 2020, especially those who are involved in athletics, Jarvis, because they had if you were in a spring sport, man, you had it taken away from you, man.
I feel bad for the kids. That's the hard part, especially for the seniors. I think that was one thing that can be really difficult for, those guys to be able to, play their last season, be able to walk out with the parents and the homecoming, and, have the parents out there for the last game and all that stuff. And it's just some of those guys or most of those guys are not going to be able to play ever, that'll be a story they'll be able to tell for the rest of their lives. We're like, hey, my junior year is my last time playing. And I think that's the unfortunate part. For sure.
Or the seniors who played a spring sport like baseball that were looking forward to having a really good season to make a difference. And if they got that scholarship offer and they didn't get a chance to do it. And that's, man, when you think about that, Jarvis, that's heartbreaking. If someone doesn't get that opportunity.
Late bloomers, especially those guys who are late bloomers.
Yeah.
For me, I didn't start till I got to my junior year in high school. So, there was a lot. I had to wait in line for a little bit, be able to get on the field and play. And, and when you start to, on your junior year, you start to talking to a couple of college recruiters and those coaches start coming out to you at practice and inquiring and all of that stuff. And then you start to get that motivation and say, okay, hey, I can really do this. I can get a scholarship. I can do this thing. And then when you say, you know what? Hey, there's this pandemic going on, so don't even worry about your senior year. And it's like, wow. And then that school move on to the next guy, a guy that was already had been established. So, it's so many little situations I know that came about as far as guys missing out on that senior year, man, because it is so it's very important. Obviously, I was speaking lightly earlier, but you know, I think that it's certain aspects of it that you're definitely going to miss for sure.
Yeah. Sam and Jarvis tonight on this Monday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We are social. You're both on Twitter if you want to follow us. He is Jarvis Davis at JarvisD90, JarvisD90. And I'm at Sam Crenshaw 23, at Sam Crenshaw 23. Also got Dylan Matthews working behind the glass at Kia Studios, at the real Kia Studios downtown.
Man, that should be highlighted more often. Get these boys that hazard pay.
That. He is that.
Get that man you some hazard pay, man. Sean, make it happen.
Dylan Matthews. You can follow him on Twitter at DylanMatthews12 if you want to chime in on with us on the show tonight, as well as the Solomon Brothers text line, or calling us at 404-741-0929. Jarvis, we'll talk a little bit about things that are going to look a little bit different when it comes to sports, and what the fans may watch for, and what may be different for you and I in covering sports as it gradually comes back. We've seen a couple of things. We've seen NASCAR without the fans. They're going to race an Xfinity Series race here in just about 4 minutes. They're racing up at Charlotte tonight. We've seen a couple of golf. We saw a Skins game last week. We saw the match yesterday. We're going to get into more in just a moment. And that was neat because of the access, because of the microphones, because of things like that you're able to get. You know, might we see more? You think we might see more of that, you know, going forward as we get into and see sports come back, especially in light of the fact that fans may or may not be able to attend the games? That makes the access even more of a premium, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so for sure, because when you think about it, there's an element that people are really into. I know this may sound a little crazy, but I enjoy the Last Dance documentary with those guys with the language, the colorful language that they use. I enjoyed it. I watched the Lance Armstrong documentary on last night. Was able to finish it this morning. And it takes you there. It brings you into the moment. And if you're talking about, not necessarily with the cussing, but if you're talking about miking up every player on the football field, or if you're miking up every player on the basketball court, I think that's something that people want to hear. People want to hear that stuff. I think that's some all access type of stuff that you can really take a deep dive into and be intrigued by. I think you add a whole different element to the television broadcast. And for me, I think from a broadcasting standpoint, you don't necessarily want people to fall in love with that, because you're talking about, all right, well, we don't need play-by-play guys anymore, or we don't need, you know, color guys. If you're getting all of that commentary from the actual players, I think it's going to be something.
Well, I don't know. I hope not. I hope it does not totally do away with the play-by-play guys. But I get what you're saying. I understand totally what you're saying, and the fact that people would want more access in some form, in some way. If it's seeing more of it, if it's hearing more of it, already you have parabolic mics around locker rooms, around sidelines, and of course, you know, in the dugout for baseball. One thing I notice about this NASCAR race is because there are no people in the stands, they can use drones. Usually there are people in stands, they can't use drones, you know. But because there's nobody in the stands, they can use that drone because they're using fewer cameras. So instead of having as many cameras, that you take that drone, and now that can move around. That can be in different locations around the track, give you different perspectives. It can be over the pits at 1 minute. It can be over a different turn. So you're able to do some different things while having fewer people. But that's the thing you think about. They got a limited staff. How would that look for football as well, when we're used to having so many cameras in so many locations to give us all of those replays from all of those angles, Jarvis? Will we be doing, you know, will there be a limit on those people when we get ready to see the games when we start back this fall? There's some things we've taken for granted that we may not see, and how will the networks still give us something to intrigue us and pull us in with fewer cameras and fewer angles?
Yeah, I think that's something that I've I think that we're going to have to get used to, because I hear a lot of people talking about getting back to normal. Like there's no such thing as normal now. There's going to be a new norm. You're going to have to get used to things being a different way. What the one things that we've gotten used to, like getting used to all of those cameras that you talked about and different angles and having so many people traveling with the teams and all that stuff. That stuff is going to have to be, you're going to have to shrink some of those things down because to go along with however those leads come back. Because when you talk about social distancing and having a big group of people around each other, you know, when you talk about, you know, 50 some guys, you know, all the PR staff, you talk about the trainers, you got all those guys coming along on your team. Are they going to shrink down some of those guys? Or are you talking about amount of people that's going to be on the field? Or, you know, you're going to keep the same amount of referees, but having all those people on the sidelines, access to locker rooms. You talked about what that looked like for guys like you and I who are in those locker rooms after games. Are we going to be allowed in those locker rooms? Are you going to be able to be on the sidelines before the game? So all of these things, you know, I think that are on the table. I think all of these things are on the table, and this is just something that we're just going to have to get used to. I don't think if it's in your mind to continue as like we used to be, like you need to start thinking forward. Like there is and I'm not saying I'm not being an alarmist, but I'm saying I'm being a realist. Say, hey,
you're going to
have to start thinking differently as we move forward and try to get through this thing.
Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Jarvis sitting in for the John Chuckery Show on this Memorial Day holiday Monday night. I'm agreeing with you. I don't think there'll be any locker room access for us going back here. And I'm not so sure how much of that is going to come back. And that's been something of, you know, you talk about being a sports reporter and being a sports journalist is the relationships that usually, you know, the reporters get to have with the players.
Room, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a locker room. The players remember who come into the locker room. That's the thing that was when I was working at 11, we would always go to spring training and you're around that clubhouse every day. You want the players to get accustomed to seeing you because they know you and they don't mind sharing with you, you know, special stories about things that they're dealing with. And then if they know you, those things are happening. That's something that we would lose in the way we would present what we do each and every day. So some things are going to change some as far as that goes. Right now, you talk about 50 guys in a room. I'm in no hurry to do that. I'm in no hurry to be in the locker room. I'm not. Yeah. I can work just fine doing whatever I'm given. I think at the end of games, Jarvis, whoever is working for the network will be on the field. They will probably interview the coach. They'll probably interview a couple of players. And that's probably going to be it.
The team
will probably give you some other thumbnails or some other interviews or things they may get from the players as everybody heads for the bus. I'm hearing some plans will make showers optional after games. Just put your clothes on and go.
You got to shower once you get home.
That those are some of the options that I'm hearing.
That's definitely going to be an adjustment for some folks.
It really will. But then some folks in a hurry to get out of that locker room anyway after the game. They don't like to hang around anyhow. So that doesn't exist, Sam.
What is this you speak of? Players don't want to talk to the reporters? Come on, man. You've never experienced anything like that. Come on now.
Yeah, of course not, man. But that's just it. And I think once that's given up, once that's taken away from the media, I don't know if that's going to be given back. I'm just being honest with you as we'll see going forward as the games return and, you know, just what type of access we're going to have both for the viewing, because it's going to be a viewing experience as we don't know how many people will actually get to go in person, but also as far as what we get to do with the line of work that we have. But whatever it is, whatever medium is provided, you can best bet we have it for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we're your official partner and official station for our Atlanta Falcons, for Atlanta United, and our Atlanta Hawks. You get your very best coverage here and also on our website at 92.9thegame.com. Jarvis, there's something that people are proposing in the National Football League recently. It's gotten under my skin a little bit. I don't know about you.
fired up Sam Kershaw. I'm all for that.
Just a little bit. You know, this is Monday night, Sam. This is not Sunday morning, Sam. And you're going to find out about it coming up next. Especially this nonsense they got about hiring coaches of color in the National Football League. We going in on it, folks. Stay with us. It's coming up next. Sam and Jarvis on this holiday Monday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Available through the radio.com app, all of your devices, and your smart speakers. Stay with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Jarvis in the Kia Studios on this Monday night, the virtual Kia Studios. You've got Dylan Matthews holding things down, down in our wonderful Midtown Studios. Man, it's been a while since I've been in that place. Eventually, we'll get back there. All get back there. We hope safe and sound. Hope all is well with you wherever you are around our listening area, and that the holiday weekend has been a safe one, and that you and your family and your loved ones are safe and well as we continue to deal with the virus and this the crisis in our country, and start to reopen and start get a regain a sense of normalcy, maybe the new normal. We'll see what that is. But I'll tell you something that's not changing, Jarvis, and that's something it's a very disturbing and troubling debate that's going on this past week about the National Football League, and we all can't wait for the games to get back on the field and the excitement that we always have. And we've been excited by the draft, even though it was held virtually. It still was entertaining. It was still fun. It was a big hit, wasn't it? I mean, they found a way to still do that. And that was still something that we managed to enjoy. We thought that was great and fantastic. And so, you know, the schedule has been released. That's something else that got us excited. I'm thinking 9-7 Falcons. I'm thinking 9-7. I don't know about you. You pull the number out?
I want to see them at least put some shorts and a t-shirt on before I start hollering about records. Oh, I want to at least see them working. Can we see them in shorts and t-shirts first before we start talking about, man, I think the Falcons are going to go 10-6. How? Like, how do you know that?
Look at that schedule. That's a heck of a schedule, though, man. That schedule is a gut check.
Pretty strong, right? It really is.
It really is. But I think this team can do that. We're gonna get into talking some Falcons a little more as we go on tonight. But right now, we'll talk about the league. And Jarvis, I don't know what you think about this. This going on, this expansion or this addition, or the incentives to in the Rooney Rule. And a lot of people, hear about it and they understand what it's supposed to do for the National Football League. And in years past, it seems to have worked to a higher degree than right now. And, even back in the day, when you used to hear about Tony Dungy for years before he got the opportunity. He had to wait so much longer than he should have. And once he got a chance to be a head football coach, what did he show us? And so, it revolutionized the defense while at Tampa, and then, of course, won a Super Bowl with the Colts. He's revered now and respected, and rightfully so. To me, for all that he's done on the field, and now as a broadcaster, and things that he does off the field as well. He's a magnificent man. I had a chance to meet him and interview him on a couple of occasions. But why is it so hard? Why do we even need a Rooney Rule in 2020? Jarvis, why do we need that now?
If we take a look at all 32 owners, to my knowledge, they're all white, correct? They're all white. So, and I think one of the things that we have to understand and know is that people are going to always hire people that are comfortable with, who they're comfortable with. And I think that if you're comfortable around that person and you have knowledge of that person, I think you have a better chance. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but I say you have a better chance of getting hired. And I think Paul Tagliabue, who used to be the NFL commissioner, he brought up a great point. He talked about how at owners meetings, they used to bring in those guys, and they used to get a chance to sit down and meet with the owners. And he used Herm Edwards as an example. He was at the owners meeting, and he was talking and speaking with those owners and got it. And he was brought up as an assistant coach. And Herm Edwards was hired that following year as a head coach of the New York Jets. You know, we get that famous soundbite. We get that famous soundbite. If he wouldn't have been hired by the Jets, we wouldn't have got that famous soundbite. You play to win the game, you know. But I think it's the comfortability factor that owners have to have with minority candidates in order to make that hire, to even consider them for a hire, or even to bring them in to talk to them. I think there has to be some level of comfortability. And if they, let me say this, let me back up. So in order to hire them, they have to be comfortable with them. And if this Rooney Rule is the reason why they're coming in, guess what? More than likely, you're not going to get that job. And we've seen that. We've seen the results of that. They've been forced to bring in a minority candidate, the guy that's been the quote unquote hot name is Eric Bieniemy. And he has continued to not be able to close the deal as far as being that head coach. And I think the main reason is why.
You know what?
Why? Because he doesn't know him. He's not familiar with him. And another guy that's like Sean McVay, who's a lifer, you know, he has people that, you know, has been in.
And I understand that as well. I understand that as well. You do have some of that goes on. People who are connected, they prepared themselves, and they have a way in. I understand that as well. But still, you talk about a guy like Eric Bieniemy, and I can see years ago, Jarvis, it being guys who maybe didn't go to the same colleges that maybe some of the owners or some of the higher-ups, the ladders in the teams had gone with. And this is 2020. And these men have gone to whatever college you want. Eric Bieniemy went to Colorado. You know, you go whatever school that they may come from. These people speak the language, if that's what somebody may be alluding. Maybe they don't speak the language of the ownership or the upper management. Yes, they do. You know, I beg to differ with that. I just think, you know, the idea that you can come and you can play this game, but you can't have this whistle. And I think, you know, at 2020, can we still have that now?
Yeah.
Because that's what it smacks of. You know, it really does. And I'm going to speak from my personal experience, the difference it makes of having the chance to have the playing field level. Mm-hmm. Just level the playing field, and not just the fact that you get to play, but you get to come in and have an opportunity for that type of advancement. You've obviously, you know, done the thing that people want to see. Would you play in the league? Are you connected? You weren't a great player, but so many of the coaches were not the greatest players. Those are the guys who spent the time learning the game.
You
learn the game and digesting it. Absolutely. You know, so, I mean, that's the other thing. But, you know, as someone – of my age, and I'm 2 or 3 years older than you.
That's all.
I know the difference it makes, man, to have, you know, the playing field level, because I was blessed to see that in my house growing up and see, you know, parents who had doors closed to them when they were a certain age, and then see doors open for them and see the difference they was able to make. Now, once they got through that door, they had to deliver, but
no
the
doubt.
Door opened, you know, and back in those, we're talking late 60s, back those times, yeah, there were people who made it, said you got to have this many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you got to have this many to get it, and that's what it took for them then. It shouldn't be that way now, and especially not for something where you see 3/4 of the faces you see on Sunday afternoons are black. There's something that's just inherently wrong about that. And, you know, there are a lot of people who want to address it. You and I can talk about it. That won't change anything. If you want to call Al Sharpton, I mean, he'll get up in the boardroom. He'll get some money.
But he won't change anything either. Nobody listen to Al.
But you know who I think? I'm going to throw some people out there that I think should speak during this time. Mm-hmm. And the same for the ones who are getting recruited by Power Five conferences, I think the parents need to speak. And people say, well, what can the parents do? He's a grown man. He's a young adult. But that's the time when the parents had that opportunity. Right now, all the players who've been drafted this year, Jarvis, none have gone to their team headquarters yet. None have gone to visit in person with their teams. Eventually, that's going to happen in the coming weeks. And when they do, they'll go, and their family members will go, and they'll get the red carpet treatment. They'll get to stay in a five-star hotel if they want to. They'll get to ride in a limo. They get a tour of the facility, and they'll take all kind of pictures. That's nice. That's great. That's the time that they get to enjoy and celebrate. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's celebration, but when you have that time, you got the ear of people whose opportunity they have to make the difference. Wouldn't it be something if one of those parents said to whoever it was with the NFL team, you know, hey, you know what? I'm happy you guys drafted my son. I'm glad you drafted him. I'm glad you're bringing him into your family to play for your team. But you know what? He's a smart guy. You know, he had this type grade point average. And he doesn't just play football. He devours football. He dissects football. He digests football. Wouldn't it be nice if once this guy's done playing, wherever he is, he wants a chance to be a coach, this team, this program, wouldn't you at least consider that? Now, how many parents do you think will ask that question? And I can tell you exactly how many will ask it. None. You know?
You know what?
So, I mean, to me, those are the people who have the chance to ask the question. Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things that if they're going to do that, I think it's a little too late once you get to the NFL. And here's why. Because a lot of the times, certain guys who aren't going to make it to the NFL. We have a lot more guys who aren't going to make it to the NFL than guys who are going to make it to the NFL. I think if you got the opportunity to go into the NFL, I think you should take advantage of that. And then once you figure out what it is that you want to do, then you go and do that. But I think the pool will be a lot bigger if you have those guys that are recruited to those big schools, and if I'm a parent, I'm gonna say, you know what? It may be harsh. This may be harsh, but you might say, you know what? My kid might not be able to make it to.
Why is it harsh? Why is it hot? Okay, why would that be harsh?
Because you got as a parent, you have to understand. Like, okay, I know if I had a son, and we get to in that high school, get to high school, and I start to see him being recruited by some of those big schools, I would have those conversations. I would say, you know what, coach? What if my guy doesn't make it to the NFL? What if my son doesn't make it to the NFL? Are you going to give him an opportunity to come on your staff as a grad assistant? Because we know if there's a certain level of knowledge that my son has, I know that I need to recognize that and say, you know what, if he doesn't make it to the NFL, he has the opportunity to get on Nick Saban's coaching staff and be able to work a way up, because we already know that's how it works. That's how the game works. That's how it's always worked. Guys get up under guys' wings. They get up under certain guys' wings, and then they grow from there. You know, and then because we have the coaching tree. Sean McVay had a coaching tree. Like, if you talk to Sean McVay in the offseason, more than likely you're going to get an interview to be in NFL. You know, Cliff Kingsbury was a sub 500 coach in college at Texas Tech, and somehow he got a job in NFL. And I just think that when you have those young guys, I think you have to start a little bit earlier than waiting for that player to get drafted, because I think you have to be intentional in what you're trying to do. And I think starting as you go into college, I think that's a good starting point.
You know, and we won't even talk about Joe Judge, a special teams coach, getting a head coaching job when Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator for the Super Bowl champions.
I think it goes without saying, but sometimes you just want to say
it. Yeah. We're not through with this. We're going to talk about this some more tonight. But up next, folks, hey, an amazing event took place yesterday with four of the greatest of all times. It was great entertainment, and it raised a little money too. That's coming up. We're going to talk about the match. That's on the way next as we head for the top of the hour here on this Monday night. Sam and Jarvis sitting in for John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. We are available through the radio.com app, through all of your smart devices, and smart speakers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.